You want me to go? All right, let's go. So hello, everybody. Good afternoon. My name is Eric Lawrence. I'm a program manager on the Internet Explorer team at Microsoft, but I'm here today to talk about a side project that I've been working on for the last many years called Fiddler. And so I'm glad to be back here at Mix. My talk this year is called The Devil Went Down to HTTP, not only to have a funny play on the song, but also because in many cases of web debugging, the more and more things that I see from the community, it's very often true that the devil's really in the details. And the details all flow over HTTP or HTTPS. And so very often, you actually need to go down to the network to kind of figure out what's going on, to understand why a particular site behaves the way that it does or a problem occurs. And so I get to come back here because folks who were here last year gave good feedback, so thanks. Was anybody here last year? Cool. Great. A handful of regulars. For people who weren't here last year, have you all used Fiddler before? Good. I like to see that. Have any of you used Fiddler with any add-ons that you downloaded? So anything you downloaded from my site or other sites? Okay. And is anybody building anything on top of Fiddler, either building their own add-ons or building on top of the Fiddler core library? Okay, got one or two there. So we're actually going to talk a bit about that. But you know, when they invited me to do this talk again, my first thought was, well, you know, it's only been a year. Have I really put enough in to have something to talk about? And you know, it was a busy year for me. I got married at the beginning of the year and worked really hard on IE9 throughout the year. So I went to the changelogs for Fiddler and looked to see kind of what's been going on for the last year. And it turns out that I've done about 400 features and bug fixes since last year, Mix timeframe. And there's also been, you know, some of those are actually performance fixes. And so for folks who are on Vista and Win7 in particular, you'll find that the current version of Fiddler is much, much faster than earlier versions. And that's because some of the work that I did to speed up the UI. The other thing that's happened since last year is we have new browsers that are out, there's new devices that are out, and there's some new scenarios that are kind of interesting to look at from the network perspective. And so I, you know, put it all together and found out, yes, there actually is enough for a talk. The other positive thing that came out is this year I got a full session instead of a mini session. So I went back and I viewed the mini session, and I noticed I was kind of like the Micro Machines commercial. I was speaking extremely fast and blowing through slides. And so I'm going to try and go much slower and go more in-depth this time. So for folks who sort of aren't familiar with the magic of how Fiddler works, Fiddler is actually just a proxy. And it runs on your local machine. And typically, it's only capturing traffic from your local machine. One of the advantages of doing this, however, is that as a proxy, it can work with anything that supports a proxy, be it a browser or an application. And so basically, virtually anything that's going to talk to any web service on the internet today can be proxied with Fiddler. And one of the things that we'll talk about later is some of those scenarios. The very first thing I wanted to do is have an announcing slide. I learned from Scott that the way to get lots of people excited is announce something. So I'm announcing a new version. Went out to the web this morning. It's version 2.33. And it has the features that we're going to be talking about today, some of which were actually coded very recently so that I would have something fun to talk about and demo. You can get the new version of Fiddler at getfiddler.com, or if you boot Fiddler, it'll do a version check. Although right now, the version check will not tell you that you're out of date because I'm announcing it now, and I have to go back to my room and kick up the version number. So the first thing I want to do is actually just do a very quick tour of Fiddler. So we'll boot it up. And you know, Fiddler's UI is not much changed since previous versions. I have done a couple of things around the UI that I wanted to single out in particular, though, because people that are longtime users may have overlooked some of those features. And so one of the first things, the other thing I noticed last time is I used lots of keystroke combos that weren't obvious. So in the session list, if you press R, it will re-request a given request. So I'm just doing that so that I can fill up some traffic. So one of the first things I wanted to mention is over on the right-hand side, I've enhanced the statistics tab a little bit so that you know things about, for instance, how many bytes of headers were there, how many bytes of body were there. The timers are now a little richer than they were last year, so you can learn a little bit more context about how requests are made. and you still have your little gratuitous graph of the breakdown of the content. The thing that I also wanted to mention that's not clear to a lot of people who are looking at Fiddler is virtually everything in this is actually pluggable. And so if you're writing either Fiddler script or writing a Fiddler extension, you can add menus, you can add new tabs to the UI, and you can influence the behavior of a lot of existing features. And so I'm going to dive into details on some of those things later in the talk. But just, you know, as you go through and you think about, well, Fiddler would be great if it had this one thing. Well, there's a great possibility that either you can ask me and I will add it, or you could code it yourself if it's very particular to your environment. And so there's actually a bunch of teams around the company and at other companies that actually have custom Fiddler plugins for their particular scenarios because they're not necessarily generally applicable. So, you know, over on the right-hand side, you may notice that there's some tabs that you might not have in your own local copy of Fiddler. So, for instance, Fiddler script is a tab. And that's just available as a plugin. And so I have the Fiddler script plugin tab, and so it just appears there. But a lot of them are pretty standard. So like the filters tab, everybody gets the request builder tab, everybody gets the timeline view, everybody gets. The log tab is something that's been expanded over the last year or so. And basically, this allows you to just kind of log messages as things progress. And you can have your script write to this log. You can have your extension write to this log. And Fiddler itself will write to this log when things of interest happen. So sometimes when you want to get a little bit more detail about something unusual that happened in HTTP error or whatnot, it'll get put into this log. And so you can actually do that from your extensions. Flipping back to the slides. So, you know, that was just a quick tour of Fiddler, not really what we're going to be, leaving it at. We're going to get back to it. But first, I wanted to mention sort of some things that are new with browsers over the last year, because I think that those are of a lot of interest. There was a question down here about, what about IE9? Does it work okay? And so the first thing I wanted to mention was actually Firefox. So Firefox 4 actually now has a setting where they'll respect the system default proxy on Windows, which is great. About 6 years ago, I think I mentioned this in my previous talk, about 6 years ago I asked the Firefox guys, hey, can you use the default proxy on Windows? And they said, send us the patch. And I was kind of busy at the time, so I didn't. But eventually they actually got around to adding this. And so you no longer actually need the Fiddler hook add-on in order to work with Firefox seamlessly. Now you can actually just turn that off and just change to use system default proxy settings. And now Firefox will behave just like Chrome and Opera and Internet Explorer and Safari and automatically pick up any changes. So when Fiddler starts and stops, it'll automatically notice it and handle it. And so, you know, I was happy to see that improvement. Internet Explorer 9 actually has a couple of major improvements when interoperating with Fiddler. And so the first one I wanted to mention is the fact that you can now debug traffic to your local web server without any additional configuration. So previously, thank you. Fortunately, I have check-in privileges for WinINet. So basically, the story there is, in the past, if you wanted to debug against your Cassini web server or your Visual Studio test server, by default, Internet Explorer wouldn't send that traffic to the locally registered proxy. And so you had to do various tricks, like you'd have to do HTTP localhost.fiddler or HTTP IPv4.fiddler or HTTP machine name. Because WinINet, the network stack underneath Internet Explorer, was hard-coded to bypass any local proxy for 127.0.0.1 or for localhost. And now Fiddler actually takes advantage of a new option where when it starts up, it tells WinINet, hey, proxy even local traffic. I promise it'll work. And so if you start IE9, it'll just show your traffic directly. No additional configuration is required. And so that's actually a pretty big improvement, particularly for people that are doing a lot of localhost stuff. The other thing I wanted to mention is Internet Explorer 9 is actually allowing some additional information to flow out to the network, some of it automatically and some of it on an opt-in basis. But this information is really useful for Fiddler because it allows it to have a bit more context about what's going on, why a given request is made. One of the real problems that you typically have from a network proxy is sort of understanding, why was this image requested? Was it in the page? Did JavaScript ask for it? Did CSS ask for it? And so there's actually ways to get this information now. The first thing that we did is in the IE9 browser mode, the accept header is now meaningful. And so what this means is when Internet Explorer makes a request for a style sheet, it will say, hey, I'm looking for text CSS. Don't give me anything else. And so that way you can very clearly know in Fiddler, hey, this thing is actually looking for a style sheet. And so you can have a column. You can actually add columns to Fiddler's UI. If you didn't know that, it's actually very simple. You can add any column you want, any criteria you want. And so in this case, I've added an accept column. So it's very obvious sort of what's going on and what type of documents Internet Explorer is asking for. And then you can actually have the content type column right next to it. And so if you see a mismatch, for instance, if you see Internet Explorer requesting text CSS, but the server giving back text plain, you know that there's a configuration problem. And in fact, that style sheet actually won't get applied in IE9 browser mode because you're not supposed to apply a style sheet in standards mode with the wrong MIME type. And so you can actually just visually see some of the problems that may occur. The other thing is, and we'll get to talking to IE9's developer tools a little bit later, but there's this feature that you can add that will actually send initiator information as an HTTP header. So this is off by default, but there's a little registry script that will turn it on, and it's available on the Fiddler website and in the slide deck. And what this does is it tells Internet Explorer, hey, when you're making a network request, add an additional custom header named xDownloadInitiator. And in that header, add some information about why you're making the request. And so you'll see that column that I added on the right-hand side. And so you'll see, for instance, the style sheets are being requested because there was a CSS on a document with ID 1878 that was speculative, which means that the Internet Explorer pre-parser found that. It wasn't the parser itself. And the tokenizer, and it has the identifier of the tokenizer. And so in some cases, this information isn't terribly useful. Because, you know, maybe you already knew that it was due to a CSS download or a JavaScript download. But in some cases, it's very, very useful. So one of the things that you'll often see on older sites that are running in legacy modes is you'll see that a request is made twice, and the first request is aborted, and the second request is successful. And when you actually add this initiator column, you'll see why. The second request will say, you know, hey, this is from the CSS, from the HTML tokenizer, which was restarted. And the reason that it was restarted was Internet Explorer had to do what's called a doc mode switch. So Internet Explorer parsed to the beginning of the page, realized, oops, I was parsing this in IE9 standards mode, but it really needed to be in IE7 standards mode, or it really needed to be in Quirks mode. And so that actually kills the parser and starts a new one. Well, that actually ends up potentially resulting in additional network requests. And so if you see these things in the Fiddler log, you can actually know, oh, I should go make sure that I have a document mode declaration in the HTTP header, and that way I can avoid that unnecessary traffic. Now, it's not as bad as it might look. You're usually not actually re-downloading the whole file twice. Usually the abort happens very early in the process, and so you'll only see one or two things get partially re-downloaded. But this is a great feature because this solves one of the biggest problems from Fiddler's perspective, which is just sort of understanding the context of how requests are getting made. Now, as I promised, one of the things that I heard a ton about, and in fact, somebody was in the earlier talk for the F12 developer tools, and they said, oh, it looks like Fiddler like made its way into Internet Explorer. And so basically, I want to talk about what the F12 developer tools can do and how Fiddler compares. And so the most relevant thing is that the network tools in IE9, just press F12, go to the network tab, and click Start Capturing, give you a timeline view of the requests that are made by the current process. And so you can kind of see, oh, here's you know, some of the same information that you would see inside of Fiddler. And for some users, this is all they will ever need. And that was kind of the point, to hit the thing that most developers may need on a regular basis and may not want to spin up Fiddler for. People that are doing very lightweight things of, is there a 404 on my page? You can just hit F12, use this, you don't ever need to install Fiddler. And so there's a lot of power within these tools. And there's some things that they're quite good at that Fiddler can't do. But at the same time, there's a bunch of things that Fiddler can do that these tools cannot do. And so I'm going to talk about those. So the first thing is that the network tab in F12 can show cache requests. So Fiddler, as a web proxy, only sees things that are being requested from the network. Whereas the F12 developer tools are actually plugged into the network stack directly. And so even if a request has been satisfied from the local network cache, they'll show up in the F12 developer tools. And so you can actually see those and say, oh, the reason it didn't request foo.css is because it pulled it out of the cache. And so that can be very useful, but you have to be careful that you understand sort of what the tools are telling you, because you may see a bunch of requests getting served out of the cache. That's not actually hurting your performance very much because they're getting served out of the cache. They're not hitting the network. The other point to be made is that the F12 network tools are read-only. You cannot make changes to the traffic. Other tabs in the F12 tools you can modify. So you can modify your HTML and CSS manually and so forth, but the network tools are not. You can only basically look and see what the network got. And Fiddler, on the other hand, you can actually completely change your network traffic. And so that's one delta. The next delta is the IE9 F12 developer tools will only show the traffic from the current tab process. And so they'll only show essentially the traffic from, you know, what you're looking at, which in many cases is exactly what you want. One of the biggest challenges people have with Fiddler is that it shows traffic from every process. And even though there's a lot of tools and filters and so forth, sometimes they say, I just want to see for this specific thing. One of the things to be aware of, though, is that sometimes you'll have requests that are happening outside of your current process that are of interest. The most relevant example that comes up a bunch is the fave icon, so the little icon that goes up in the address bar. Internet Explorer is actually made up of a multi-process architecture, and we download the fave icon up in the frame process, which is basically the thing that's, you know, painting the address bar and so forth. And so you typically won't see the fave icon necessarily in the IE9 developer tools, but you will see that in Fiddler. The other point is that Fiddler works with other browsers and other clients and so forth, whereas the F12 tools only work with Internet Explorer itself. One of the things that occasionally impacts people who are looking very closely at perf issues is that Fiddler, as a proxy, changes very slightly the connection handling semantics within WinInet. So WinInet has a 12 connections per proxy limit in IE9. Which is actually doubled from what it was in IE8, so you should find that running sites through Fiddler is additionally faster in IE9 than in IE8. But this can cause some very subtle timing changes between what you might see without a proxy and with a proxy. Now, I maintain that actually you have to test with both because something like 20% of users are behind a proxy anyway, but it is something to be aware of. And so with the F12, there is no observer effect with regard to the connections per server, connections per proxy, and the normal 6 connection per host limit is enforced there instead. The F12 network tab is actually plugged in before encryption of traffic going out and after decryption of traffic coming back. And so that allows it to essentially show secure traffic without any man-in-the-middle stuff. And we'll talk a lot about how Fiddler works with secure traffic because that's one of the things that's most misunderstood about how Fiddler works. But the advantage here, effectively, is you don't need to reconfigure any certificates or do anything else on the machine in order to see the secure traffic. Not related to the secure traffic, but the other point to be made is that Internet Explorer's tools show the decompressed and potentially de-chunked traffic. So if your server is sending gzip compressed content, you'll actually never see the gzip compression within the F12 tools. And so if you see content sizes that are, you know, unexpected and you're like, oh my goodness, why aren't we compressing anything? Be aware that the F12 tools are actually showing you the stuff post-expansion. Whereas in Fiddler, by default, I'll show it to you in compressed mode and there's a big yellow bar that says, if you actually want to do anything with this, push this bar to decompress it. And then there's an option in Fiddler to actually just do that all the time. And so that is something to be aware of if you're looking at the specifics of, is my traffic getting compressed, is it getting chunked, and so forth. The F12 developer tools have a buried but extraordinarily cool feature. So on the little tools widget in the F12 tools, when you're looking at a JavaScript file, you can actually choose the format JavaScript command. And what it will do is it will reformat your JavaScript, injecting carriage return, line feed, etc., and make it much, much, much more reasonable. The reason that this is way better than the formatter plugin for Fiddler is because it's much faster. It's using the code written by the guys that wrote the JavaScript engine, and they know what they're doing. And so their formatting is actually extremely good, whereas within Fiddler, it's quite a bit weaker. It's quite a bit slower for large files, and so you typically only want to do it once and then cache the result using the autoresponder, which is another Fiddler feature we'll talk about in a minute. The F12 tools, the console is now actually quite useful, and so as you surf around your site, you'll get great warnings, like when you have mixed content on a page, you'll see, hey, mixed content was the HTTPS security of this page was compromised by exactly the following URL, http://foo/whack/bar.js, which is a feature that wasn't available in the tools previously. In order to see this kind of stuff previously, you had to boot Fiddler and then just look, are they all HTTPS? Are they all HTTPS? Are they all HTTPS? And so this is actually a very significant improvement in the F12 tools. So you can figure out, why am I getting this prompt? Where have I gone wrong? And then the last one, which kind of segues to our next topic, is that the F12 tools will export traffic but cannot import traffic. And so effectively, once you've created a network capture in the F12 tools, you can save it out to disk in XML format. But the only tool that will read them back in is Fiddler that I'm aware of. There's probably somebody else that's built a visualizer for them. But it goes out to an XML format, which is an XML serialization of the HTTP archive format. The HTTP archive format is traditionally serialized in JSON, so most of the tools won't know how to read it. But one of the advantages of Fiddler is it can actually both import and export into this format and other formats as well. And that brings us to the next slide, which is effectively Fiddler's import-export architecture. So this was introduced just before Mix last year, but now it is fully pluggable. You can write your own. And there's a couple of more examples of the exporters and importers. And so I'm going to do a very quick demo of that right now, where I'm going to boot Fiddler. I'm going to see all these random things that have come in. Now, actually, I'm going to go import some traffic. And I'm going to import an HTTP archive I captured earlier. And I'm going to import the Chrome archive. And so this is from the Chrome browser. For some reason, they put non-network requests within their HTTP archive. So I'm going to go delete those out. But you can actually go see, when I loaded this, I think this is my blog, actually. And when I go into the timeline tab, I can see sort of the experience that I had previously when loading this in Chrome. And so you can get these HTTP archives out of Chrome and out of Firebug and probably out of the Opera tools, although I've never used them. Similarly, there's the importer for the Internet Explorer format, the IE9 F12 XML, and I earlier saved the same scenario and the same output. And so the great thing about Fiddler is you can actually transcode between formats if you want. And so you can actually go load the IE9 format, save it out into a different format. And I actually want to show just kind of quickly some of the options that you have. So you can save it to HTTP archive in either the 1.1 or 1.2 formats. The 1.2 format is slightly better because it contains the body. You can actually export raw files, which I'll demo later. You can generate a Visual Studio web test. So if you want to play something back with Visual Studio web test product, you can do that. And that was very popular for a while. And you can also generate WCAT scripts. So the web capacity analysis tool from the IIS guys, you can actually just go capture this and play it back through WCAT. And this is fully pluggable. And so you can actually build something that goes into any kind of system you want. And in fact, you could build a database exporter or importer if you wanted to, and then just never have traffic in normal files anymore at all. You could actually make the importer exporter just connect directly to a database and grab your traffic and store it off that way. The other thing that's happened since last year is that there's new devices and scenarios that have become relevant. And the one that's sort of, there's two that are really actually particularly interesting for Fiddler. And those are essentially the new devices that Microsoft has come out with, the Windows Phone 7, and the announcement that we're going to have future versions of Windows that run on ARM-based devices. And so these are both really interesting because people that are starting to use these tools say, hey, I want to run Fiddler on my phone. How do I do that? Hey, I want to run Fiddler on my ARM prototype device. How do I do that? And the answer is, well, currently you can't run Fiddler on the device, but you can use Fiddler with the device. And that's because as a proxy, Fiddler is just a proxy. And so anything that supports a proxy can work with Fiddler. And that's not just Microsoft hardware. There's probably an iPhone somewhere in here as well. iPhones and iPads are actually very simple to use with Fiddler. The Android devices are harder, and there's a slide later on that. Within Windows Phone, there's three major scenarios. One is debugging traffic from the emulator. One is debugging traffic over Wi-Fi. And then the third is debugging traffic when you're plugged in via a USB tethering cable. Unfortunately, the configuration for each of those is slightly different. There wasn't a lot of coordination between me and the Windows Phone team. But if you go to fiddler2.com/phone, you can actually learn how to do each one of those configurations. And so even if you don't have an actual device and you're just trying to capture traffic from the emulator, you can do that with Fiddler. The last thing I wanted to mention is you can also run Fiddler in reverse proxy mode. And so this works for scenarios where you don't have the ability to change the device. And so I don't know whether it's still true, but for a while, the Android devices, you couldn't actually configure a proxy directly on the device. Or maybe it was with the Android emulator, which ran in Java. And so for scenarios like that, if you really truly need to capture traffic from the device, what you do is you start Fiddler on a server running on port 80. You kick your IIS server off to port 81 or whatnot. And then you just visit the URL that points at the Fiddler instance on port 80. It will capture all the traffic and forward it up to the other port where your actual server lives. And so this can be useful for cases where you can't reconfigure the client. Now, more than virtually anything else, the thing that I get questions about is debugging HTTPS traffic. And partly it's because HTTPS traffic works a little bit differently than HTTP traffic, and people get confused. And partly because there's some additional configuration steps in Fiddler required to turn on HTTPS support. And I do that mostly for security-related reasons. And so normally, a proxy isn't able to see an HTTPS request. If you think about it, you don't want the proxy to know that you're going to HTTPS, paypal.com, and the session ID is 1234. That would defeat the purpose of HTTPS. And so what actually happens, and you'll see a typical scenario here, is that the browser will contact the proxy and say, hey, I need a connection to the target server. In this case, it's fiddler2.com on port 443. And the proxy will return back, okay, here's your TCP IP connection. I'll trust you to close it when you're done with it because I can't see anything in this tunnel. Well, in Fiddler's case, I want to see what's in that tunnel. And in order to do that, I effectively have to man in the middle of the traffic. Fiddler will pretend to the client, oh, yeah, I'll pass that traffic straight to the server, no peeking. By the way, here's my cert, I'm the server. Ordinarily, your browser would reject this and say, I don't know the Fiddler root certificate authority, so I don't believe you. But you can actually reconfigure your browser such that it will trust the Fiddler root certificate. So that's the first hurdle, is effectively, A, you've got to turn on the feature in Fiddler, and B, you have to trust the certificate. And previously, this was actually a fairly awkward process, but over the last year, it's actually gotten a lot simpler. And so to do that within Fiddler, on the Tools menu, choose Fiddler Options, click on HTTPS, and then tick the first two boxes, Capture HTTPS Connect, and Decrypt HTTPS traffic. And actually, I'm going to just go pretend that I haven't ever used this feature before, and I'm going to turn it I'm going to remove the Fiddler interception certificate. So this is another thing. Previously, you could never clean up the garbage that Fiddler left around. Now it will do it for you. And so now I'm back to the clean state of a user that had just installed Fiddler. Now it's actually much simpler than it used to be. You just tick this box, and you'll get a scary warning saying, hey, this is sharp. Read it carefully. And it effectively says, we're about to change the security configuration of your computer. Do you want to do that? And the default is no, but being that the demo depends on it, we're going to choose yes, we're going to trust it. At this point, Windows says, hey man, somebody's trying to reconfigure your SSL certificate configuration. Are you sure you want to allow that? And the answer is, well, yes, I do. That's the demo. So I'm going to install that certificate. Now, anytime a connection is made, Fiddler will intercept that connection and decrypt the traffic. Now, in most cases, this is exactly what you want. But there's some cases where you really don't want Fiddler to decrypt your traffic. And that's because you just don't care about it. And one of the big examples for that is if you've got Outlook web access or Outlook in the RPC over HTTPS mode. And this is basically what allows you to use Outlook while you're disconnected from your domain and so forth. Well, if you decrypt that traffic, you'll notice that Outlook doesn't really sync right anymore. And the reason is because the way Outlook is using this is basically it's basically treating this HTTPS tunnel as an arbitrary byte stream. And it's not really following the normal patterns of HTTP. And so Fiddler will go decrypt it and wait and wait and wait. And the reason that it waits and waits and waits is because the client and server both promise to send each other 1 gigabyte of data. But they never do. They only send a couple of hundred bytes. And so Fiddler's waiting in the middle patiently for the data to arrive, but it never all gets there. And so you'll notice that your HTTPS traffic doesn't complete for RPC over HTTPS. And so what I've done here is I've just configured, hey, don't ever decrypt anything for exchange.microsoft.com because I don't need to see that traffic. And this makes it much simpler to use Fiddler. The other option that you could use is, even if you've decided that you don't even want to see the connect tunnels from your other tools, so you don't want to see the connect tunnels being made for Outlook and so forth, you can just change your process filter. And so if you go down to the bottom, you can very simply filter to web browsers or non-browser applications or hide all new traffic. This is the number one question I get. Is, I love Fiddler, it worked great until yesterday, now I can't ever see anything. And I say, look at the bottom left of the screen. And then they say, thank you. To the point where I've thought about making a big dancing arrow anytime you start Fiddler saying, is this really what you meant? Generally speaking, you probably want web browsers unless you're trying to debug something like a Silverlight out of process or things like that. So, The other thing is Firefox and Opera don't use the certificate store in Windows. They have their own. So Chrome and Safari and Internet Explorer all use Windows Store. If you want to use the HTTPS cert and have it trusted by Firefox and Opera, there's just a one-button export root to desktop, and then within those products, you can actually go to their configuration options and say import root, and you have a very similar experience. You only have to do it once, and unless you go delete your root, it'll work until you're done with using Fiddler ever. And then the last thing to mention is the cert cleanup button, so you can actually go remove all the temporary root temporary certificates from the store and the root certificate as well. So I got this mail the other day, and we'll let people read it. For those of you on the video, basically the subject is Fiddler is great, and we have a screenshot of the text view inspector with a function that says is power user return false. And basically the key here is you can never, ever, ever trust the client. And so with Fiddler or any other debugging proxy, or in fact with Notepad and your internet cache, you can very easily change that to true. And so that presents a pretty significant challenge to people that have things in their application where they're depending on the client being trustworthy, because the client can't be determined to be trustworthy. Even over a secure channel, you can use a tool like Fiddler to modify traffic. So I had a fun little demo that I put together. How many people were in Scott Guthrie's keynote this morning? Okay, I totally did not copy off him. I had this idea myself, and so I was alarmed to see it. But one of the things he demoed was you can actually, with the new Visual Studio tools, for the devices, you can simulate geoloc, and you can say, hey, I want the phone to think I'm in this place. That was actually my demo for traffic modification. And the reason for that is kind of interesting. So all modern browsers, support the HTML5 geolocation spec. And the way that it typically works is your browser will ask, basically, hey, what are the access points that are located around me? And then it will use that information to go and ask a service, hey, where is this user? And so we're going to go out to the Firefox demo page and see their user experience. Yes, share my location. And it knows that I'm in Las Vegas and on this corner and so forth here. And if you go and look and see how that's actually implemented, you will find somewhere in here geoloc, JSON. And if we decrypt this or decompress it, you'll see, oh, here's where you're at. You're in Nevada, Las Vegas, and so forth. And both Internet Explorer and all the other browsers do this with a web service. Well, and they do it over HTTPS as well. But with Fiddler, you can just modify those web service responses. And so if you want to become the mayor of somewhere without ever being there, it's quite easy. And so I was kind of inspired by Las Vegas and the various sites here, for instance, like Paris and the pyramids of Luxor and so forth. And so I thought it was kind of funny to just build a little override. I'm going to use the IE test drive for this one. And so I'm going to say, hey, go ahead and locate me. You'll get the security prompt. I'll say, yes, I want it to locate me. And now, bang, we're at the Eiffel Tower. This is the real one in Paris, not the one down the street. Whereas, on the other hand, if we want to go to Egypt, we can do that as well and go back to our browser and do the location again, and you will find the pyramids of Egypt. I tried to do the Sphinx, but it turns out the Sphinx doesn't photograph very well from above, so unfortunately I had to punt on that. Or if I'm feeling a little bit nostalgic, I can go there, and we will go back to the Internet Explorer headquarters, Building 50 at Microsoft. And so, this is actually a little toy extension. I wrote it in probably, it actually took me about 2 hours. It took about 4 minutes to write the extension and about 2 hours to find the geolocs of interesting places in the world. But I wanted to show it to you very quickly because the code is actually quite simple. And so you can extend Fiddler with JavaScript or you can extend it with .NET code. For me, I like extending it with .NET code partly because Fiddler is written in .NET originally. But my extension is called Anywhere, and it's available for download if you go to getfiddler.com, whack add-ons, it's there. But basically, there's two major class files. One is the tampering class, which plugs into the Fiddler API, and then the other is just the UI that allows the user to select things. And so, I tried to document it fairly well. The key thing that you have to do inside your class is set an attribute on the assembly indicating which version of Fiddler your assembly requires. If you fail to do this, Fiddler will say, that's just an assembly. It wasn't meant for me. I won't load it. And in this case, I want to modify traffic, and so I implement the iAutoTamper2 interface, and that is actually how Fiddler knows to call you at the various points in the HTTP parsing pipeline. The implementation, I don't implement most of the methods because I don't care about them. The one that I do implement is the AutoTamperRequestBefore. And so this is the method that Fiddler calls before it makes an HTTP request. And basically, the first thing I do is I check to see whether or not the extension is enabled. And if it's not, then I immediately return. I next check to see whether it's a connect request. Remember that connect tunnel. And I say, hey, if you're going to the location service on live, just bail out. Say it succeeded, because we don't actually need to talk to live. So just make it happen locally. Then I say, hey, if the URL is either Google's JSON lookup, which is used by Opera and Chrome and Firefox, then return JSON string in the format that they require. Whereas if it's going to Microsoft's live service, then it's an XML format. And basically, all you do is you just poke in your strings of where you want to be. And that's basically as simple as it is. There's very little other code. There's about 5 or 6 lines where I go in, poke into the UI. I say, hey, go add a menu item here. Make that menu item spawn the UI. And there's a little bit of plumbing code that happens when you unload. But overall, the actual code of this extension that does anything meaningful, the part that parses the various types of strings that the user may want to pass into that dialog box, is longer than the rest of the product combined. And so I just threw that together. But the point is that while that's kind of a silly example, you could do very useful things for this. So you could actually inject, you could build extensions that would inject test frameworks within your site. And so you can actually just go into test mode and have lots of debugging spew all over the place and do unit testing and so forth just within Fiddler. So showed that off. The filters tab is a little bit better. So I showed very quickly the process filter earlier. Let's go ahead and disable this guy and go back to the filters tab. The filters tab has the ability to do some very lightweight modifications that ordinarily would require writing a bit of script or using an extension. But here, basically, you can just do some checkboxy type things. So if you only care about traffic going to one particular service because you're debugging that web service, you can just say, don't show me anything that's not going there. The features that have been added for this release are there's a timing heat map. And what this will do is it will do a very sort of lightweight background coloring on your HTTP sessions. So things that are very fast will appear very green, and things that are very slow will appear very red. And so you can get a bit of a Christmas tree effect as you load a given site. And so let's actually go ahead and just do, I'm going to go up to my IE internals blog and load that and see how the MSDN guys are doing. So you can see, oh, that was actually very fast, but that one's not so fast. And so you can actually get kind of a heat map. This is a very, very simple, lightweight thing. It's just the idea is to kind of draw attention to where you may want to focus your efforts. There's a new option to break on XML HTTP requests. This only works when you're using jQuery or a similar framework that adds the X requested with HTTP header, because ordinarily Ordinarily Fiddler doesn't know that a given HTTP request was made by an XML HTTP request, because as a proxy, there's no context for it. You would hope that the X download initiator that we added to IE9 would tell it, but unfortunately, it's one of the things that it doesn't do. The other thing is there's a smarter trimming feature, and so you can actually set Fiddler to just discard older sessions. So if you want to avoid using up all the memory on your machine, for instance, you can say, oh, just keep the last 500 sessions or so. That's all I ought to need. And now if you have any comments or have marked any sessions, so if you use Control-1 to mark a session, it won't actually expire that session when it hits the threshold. It'll just keep that one and say, oh, he meant to keep that, so I'm going to keep it for him. And so there's some very lightweight improvements there. The timeline tab is actually extremely useful for certain types of things. The timeline will show you sort of the waterfall diagram of how your site was loaded. The key thing about the timeline tab is you can see things like whether or not connections are being reused. And that feature is slightly non-obvious. Basically, what you want to do is you can select some sessions first, because it'll only show you the sessions that you select. And then you can choose different modes. So the default mode is timeline mode, which will show you the waterfall. But you can also show the client pipe map, which basically shows which connections were used to talk to Fiddler. And you can use the server pipe map, which will show you which connections were used to talk to the web server. And so if your web server is closing the HTTP connection on every response, for instance, you'll find that for every request you select on the left, there's a line on the right. Whereas if you get connection reuse, you'll see things like this, where there's multiple requests within a single connection. And that's what you want to see. In an ideally loading site, you would see a minimal number of connections and a maximal amount of reuse of those connections. And so the timeline tab is very useful for a very quick analysis of that. I put regular expression support in a bunch of different places it wasn't previously. So if you want to search across your session traffic using a regular expression looking for a string, you can do that. Just hit Control F, type regex colon, and then what you're looking for. Within the syntax view extension, you can use regexes to find things among your traffic. And then the autoresponder, which we'll get to in a bit, you can use regular expressions as well. The image view inspector now has the ability to copy a picture as a data URI. So if you want to put a data URI in your style sheet to prevent a network request, you can do that. It has the additional thing that if you pick an image that the serialization to the data URI is longer than 32K, it will warn you that IE8 won't use it. IE9 actually removed that limit, and your data URIs can be up to 4 gigs in length. Please don't use data URIs that long. It doesn't make sense. But they will work in IE9. And so this is just a quick way to turn an image into a data URI. The syntax view inspector. How many people have the syntax view inspector installed? I was afraid of that. The syntax view inspector is the inspector that should be in the box. It's not because it's 600K and Fiddler itself is 600K and I pay for bandwidth. And I didn't want to put it in every one of the packages. Basically, just go getfiddler.com, whack add-ons, and download it and install it. It will provide syntax highlighting of most common web textual types, so JavaScript, CSS, HTML, XML. The other thing it does is there's a formatter, so you can right-click on a file and say, hey, format this as nicely formed XML, and it will do its very darndest to make it a nice, pretty XML view for you. The syntax view thing is also packaged with the Fiddler script editor, so your syntax highlighted environment for editing Fiddler scripts, you no longer need to use plain text notepad. This is the extension that should be in the box, and so maybe it will be after the results of that survey where virtually nobody has it. The other thing I wanted to mention is the caching inspector. So Internet Explorer 9, one of the reasons I was so busy last year, was IE9 has significantly enhanced support for HTTP caching. We now follow the RFC effectively to the letter. And so we do a much, much better job of keeping content on your machine. This has two implications for Fiddler. One, you'll probably be using Control F5 in IE a lot more if you want to see your traffic in Fiddler. Control F5 tells IE, hey, bypass the cache and go out to the network. Well, if you want your network request to actually not just get pulled out of the cache, you're going to be using Control F5 with Fiddler. But the other thing to keep in mind is that Internet Explorer will apply default caching rules in the same way as other browsers. And so even if you send us something and you don't tell us when it expires, we'll heuristically calculate how long that thing should be treated as fresh based on the rules in the RFC. This tab will actually break that down for you and explain, hey, based on these headers, it's a 200 response, so it's going to be cacheable. There's a last modified. There was no expiration date on it, and the RFC says, okay, you're allowed to use essentially 10% of its current age as an expiration. And so Fiddler will actually break that out for you and tell you. There's other tabs in Fiddler that are very useful for, like, privacy. It'll analyze your P3P statement and indicate whether or not your cookies are going to get blocked and things like that. But the cache inspector is something that I really like because the work that we did in IE9 is really improving the speed of the network, and you can kind of see what's going to happen with Fiddler here. Quick exec. I love command lines. I always have. But basically, you can do very quick traffic filtration with the quick exec box. You can launch commands, maybe a little bit off the edge. But if I type equals and I can do post, for instance, and I'm going to select all of the HTTP posts, or I can do, an HTTP response code equals 200. It's going to find all the 200s. I can do, and then I can go over to the statistics tab and see information about them. I can select current MIME types. So I can say select image WAC, and it'll actually select things that have the image MIME type. And so you can do lots of really interesting filtration very quickly from this. Once you actually have selected something like that, so if I do the select image thing again and hit enter, it will focus the session list. Now I can hit delete and get rid of those selected things, or I can hit shift delete and get rid of everything except for those selected things. And so if you're only looking at a particular type of content, maybe you want to save out all the images, you can do this very easily. You can also do, there's actually a couple more operations. This is all implemented inside Fiddler script. And so you can actually just go into your Fiddler script and look at it and see what those filters are. A new feature I added is essentially the About Config pane, because every cool product has millions of options that only super geeky people need. And Fiddler reached the point where there's now about 100 options, most of which are at good defaults, but sometimes you want to change them. So in Quick Exec, you just type About Config, and you can actually see the configuration options. If you click the help link at the top, it will take you to a wiki that will tell you what they all mean and why you probably ought not touch them, but sometimes you may want to. The Request Builder. So the Request Builder allows you to either construct an HTTP request yourself, or by basing it on a previously generated request. And so the scenario that I want to show for this is kind of a fun little one. I'm going to load, so Medlar is just this HTTP simulator. And what it's going to do, I'm going to go over to Fiddler and I'm going to open a link to my Medlar demo. And so this is sort of meant to simulate. My brother got married a couple of years back, and his photographer very helpfully posted all of his pictures on a website. And it was one of those sort of old school sites where it was like one picture, next page, next page, next page, next page. And I said, you know, I really don't have time for that. I want all 400 pictures now. And their website was nowhere near that fast. And so what you can do with Fiddler that's kind of cool, let me go get rid of the filters because I no longer need my heat map, is you can use the Request Builder to reissue HTTP requests. And one of the things you can now do with it is you can modify HTTP requests in an automatic way. And so I've just replaced the zero there with a pound sign, a number sign. And now when I actually execute this request, it's going to ask me, where do I want to start? I'm going to start with number 1, and I'm going to end with number 12. And then hit enter, and you'll just see that, boom, all those things just immediately came down very quickly. It didn't download any of the HTML that I don't care about and so forth. And so now if I go over to my gallery tab, I will see the pictures. Hey, I've got all these really wonderful wedding pictures. But as much as I spend lots of time in Fiddler, I don't really want to go into Fiddler and relook at the wedding pictures there. So what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to go over to the import-export menu, and I'm going to say export these sessions, I'm going to export the selected ones, and I'm going to dump raw files. It's going to ask me for a location, I'm going to say, hey, go ahead and put those on my desktop, and it will just basically instantly blit all of those images out to my desktop. And so this is just a really great way of getting lots of content off a website in a hurry. Thanks. One of the other features now is it will chase redirects. So if a server sends you a 302, there's an option on the Request Builder's option tab to just follow that redirect instead of forcing you to then say, okay, I'll fix the URL manually. And for folks that are debugging against internal things like SharePoint that are authenticated by NTLM or negotiated authentication, there's an option that says, just authenticate for me. Even if the server gives back a 401, just provide my credentials. You know how to do it. And so the Request Builder now has the ability to do that as well. And so it makes it a lot more useful. The Enhanced Autoresponder. So this was going to be the bulk of the shiny, but I apparently am far more verbose than I thought. So let's go take a quick look at the autoresponder. The autoresponder allows you to play back previously captured traffic. And so in the past, I've done demos where, for instance, hey, I want to simulate something offline. I want to increase my confidence about doing a demo. Say I wanted to show off maybe IE9's awesome ACID 3 score, but I'm really worried that the ACID 3 website is going to go down. So I can actually just go reload, and I can either reload a previously captured SAS file or a new format called FARX, the Fiddler Archive XML. And what it's going to do is it's going to go load that HTTP traffic and make it available for playback. The advantage of using the FARX format is it will keep track of all of the modifications you make in the rules. And this is very useful because if you want something that works on not an exact match, you're going to have to customize it here. And the specific reason that I need this for the SunSpider test is their results page, while it uses JavaScript to read its own URL, it does pass the thing in the URL. And if it was exact match, When Fiddler went to match it against the previously captured traffic, it would say, oh, I don't have that one. Let's go to the internet. And so here I've actually said, no, it's okay. As long as the thing starts with results.html, just return that page. And to increase the difficulty level, we're going to leave the unmatched request pass-through checkbox unticked, meaning that if it's not in the cache here, it will not be loaded. There's a new option here where I can say open URL, and it will actually open the URL. Now here you see the SunSpader page that's being played back from Fiddler, not actually hitting the network at all. And so you'll see on the left-hand side, there's that blue highlight. It doesn't work very well in the big screen, but there's a blue highlight in the background indicating that Fiddler pulled that from the HTTP archive that I'd loaded inside the autoresponder tab. And with IE8, that would have been a very long demo, but here you see that it is very fast. You'll see over here the smart screen filter requests actually don't work because I said, hey, if it's not in this autoresponder, then don't allow it to go through. Now, one of the key things that makes autoresponder interesting is because you can reduce website problem repros using it. And so say that there was a problem with SunSpider. You know, we couldn't get it to work for some reason. There was something in IE9 beta, and you know, we just couldn't figure out what it was. Well, with the autoresponder, the new feature in the autoresponder, and I just hit enter on this, is that it allows you to pop up an editor and actually modify that response in real time. And so let's go over to the text view. Oops, I picked one that was actually compressed, which was not perhaps the best of choices. So let's go to the transformer tab and say, no, I don't want that to be compressed. Now I'll go over to the text view tab. And over here we have SunSpider JavaScript benchmark, and I'll say, you know, FunSpider JavaScript benchmark. And I'll choose to save this. And I'll leave this editor open just in case that didn't do quite what I wanted. And then I'm going to go over to the autoresponder, the session list. I'm going to say, hey, go visit that URL again. And you will notice up in the address bar, or up in the title, it is now the FunSpider JavaScript benchmark. And so this is really useful because you can just very quickly modify websites that don't belong to you to figure out, you know, hey, how is this working? Why isn't this working? In IE9, we did this a lot for reducing repros where something didn't work with the beta. What we would do is we just go delete everything in the page except for the thing that was a problem, and then we would attach that to a bug. This was all previously possible with Fiddler, but with the autoresponder, it's easier than ever because I don't need to do a bunch of dragging and dropping. I can just go make things. I can have one window with my autoresponder source and one window with my browser window and just F5 away. And so, you know, if you're already using Visual Studio and you've got all the source locally and everything, you don't need something like this. But if you're trying to debug a third-party framework or anything like that, this is actually a very useful feature. And we use this a bunch. One new thing that you can do with it is you can drag drop an entire folder structure within it. And so this will create rules for everything within the folder structure. So what I have here is a screenshot. We had a site that wasn't working properly with an old version of, I believe it was the prototype framework. And we said, hey, does it work if the new prototype framework is installed? And so without modifying anything, all we did is we dragged the autoresponder, the new version of the prototype framework, all 1,500 files of it, and loaded the site again. And any time the site would make an HTTP request looking for, you know, datetime.js, it would just pull it out of the autoresponder using the latest version. And so you can very quickly make changes and say, hey, if we updated the new version of jQuery without even touching the site, will it break? And so you can do things like that. The other thing that's new for the very latest version of the autoresponder is you can actually enable latency. And when you enable latency, you have the ability to play back things with the latency with which they were captured. And so this first request here took 936 milliseconds when it was actually captured. You can actually play that time back. And so if you want to give somebody a real-world picture of what your website is going to perform like, you can turn on the use latency option, and then they will see the latency that real people see. On the other hand, if you're showing the venture capitalist your site, you put it all in the autoresponder, turn off latency, and everything loads instantly. And so depending on your needs, you may or may not want to do that. I'm going to turn off the autoresponder here. I'm done talking about that for now. What's new with add-ons? Wanted to mention a couple add-ons very briefly. There's some really cool things out in the ecosystem, a lot of them on the getfiddler.com WAC add-on site, some of them on third-party sites, Code Project and the like. The HTML Analyzer Inspector will analyze a particular page and tell you sort of what is it made up of. Are you wasting a lot of space on view state? Are there a bunch of images and so forth? So that's a response inspector written in C#. The WCF binary inspector, so ordinarily WCF has this ability to communicate with a compressed XML, and this will actually go and do the decompression and move it back to plain text for your reading purposes. So if you want to debug your WCF, you can do so pretty easily. This is a very new one, the stress stimulus load testing framework. And so this was written by a company that does load tests. And they said, hey, we use Fiddler to capture things for our load tests, but it would be really cool if you could just do the whole thing in Fiddler. And with the performance improvements, that's now possible. So you can actually simulate, oh, well, what would this look like with 10 users loaded onto the site? What would it look like with 100 users loaded onto the site? And so if you don't want to export your traffic and load it into a tool like WCAT, you can use this. And this will actually show you graphs and things that you traditionally see. And best of all, of course, it's free. There's a web fuzzer called Intruder 21, written by a guy in Japan. And so if you've used things, if you're a security guy and you've used something like Burp Proxy or the like, this is very similar to that, where you can actually do targeted attacks against your website and see whether or not you're vulnerable to things like script injection and so forth. There's also an existing add-on called Watcher. Watcher is from Kasaba Security. It's one of my favorite extensions because effectively, particularly if you're a tester, it's essentially generate list of bugs from website, go. And it will actually look through as you surf around the site and try and find places where you're not following security best practices. And it will explain what you're not doing, what you should be doing, and why it matters. There's a new feature, there's a new similar plugin called X5S, which is really targeted to sort of penetration testers, people who are very hardcore about going deep looking for bugs. But these are also available from gitfiddler.com, WAC add-ons, and they're for security. The last thing I wanted to mention very briefly, originally I was going to do a longer section about it, but then I figured, no, I'll actually just show them the Fiddler extension, is Fiddler Core. And the reason that I chose you to just show you the Fiddler extension is because the model for Fiddler Core and Fiddler extensions is actually almost the same. In a Fiddler extension, you write, you know, the iFiddler extension that's in the middle there, and it plugs into Fiddler. Whereas in the case where you just want to build an application that consumes Fiddler-like functionality, but you don't want all of the Fiddler UI because you don't like my lovely UI design skills, you can just put Fiddler Core within your application. And the programming model is quite similar. You get events like before request and before response. And the object model for the request is exactly the same. And so you can build things that will go modify your HTTP traffic and on the fly. And so again, if you wanted to build just a standalone program called, you know, turn on test.exe, you could double-click it, start it, and it would modify your web traffic. The programming model is very simple. You basically put it in your app, you set up an event handler that you want to have something happen, and then you call startup. It's now available for .NET 4, so you can compile .NET 4 applications. It's always been available for .NET 2. You can use HTTPS. You can make as many HTTPS endpoints as you want. So if you want to have a bunch of different ports handling a bunch of different things, you can do so. And so there's a bunch of applications out there now building Fiddler Core in for scenarios. The other thing you can do is you can export traffic into the SAS file format. And so you can build a test framework that will actually just run all the time, integrate with your current test tools, and when something fails, go save to the database, hey, here was the HTTP traffic that led to that failure. Maybe it'll help you find the bug. And so there's actually quite a few online services teams that don't really look at bugs anymore unless there's a traffic capture attached, because it's now so easy to get this stuff. And so we have a lot of frameworks that are built around it. The last thing I wanted to mention was Fiddler Cap. If you haven't heard of it, fiddlercap.com. This is for normal human beings to get HTTP captures for debugging a site or service. So when someone has a problem logging into Hotmail, basically run Fiddler Cap, they push start capture, they do whatever's busted, they press stop capture, save, and they have a capture of the traffic that they can go email to someone to debug. This is built on top of Fiddler Core, and one of the new features is there's now that little tiny add screenshot button in the bottom right, so they can actually just inject a screenshot directly into the capture so that someone debugging can analyze that. So I've got about a minute 30 left. I can take questions. If people want to see more, basically just go to fiddler2.com/mix. There's a link to everything that I talked about in this talk. So, you know, the exact details of how do I configure my Windows phone? How do I build on top of Fiddler Core? Where can I get that cool extension that lets me check in from Egypt? I ask that people fill out eval forms. That's the only reason that I get to be here talking about my side project, is because the evals have been pretty good. And then the last thing I wanted to mention is there's some other cool talks. There's a GeoLoc talk tomorrow, probably talking about not how to hack GeoLoc, but really how to use GeoLoc. Any questions?